this one. Throw it away.
Okay. We're back on the record. You're substituting, Ms. Bandage?
I am substituting a correct Exhibit 11.
And the wrong one was the May 29th one, right?
Correct. They look very similar.
All right, so please continue.
Can you please identify Exhibit 11 for us, Mr. Berg?
It's a June 3rd inspection report at the Falkirk Mine.
And what was the purpose of your inspection on June 3rd?
Our purpose of an inspection was threefold. One, to look at a grade approval area. One, to look at the soil stripping area. And also to look at another proposed stripping area.
And when you say the soil stripping area, you're referencing the soil stripping area that was the subject of NOV 0903, correct?
Correct, in section southeast quarter, section 5.
Can you please tell us about your inspection?
Mr. Klingenstein and I arrived at the mine approximately 1:50 p.m. on our way home from another inspection at Dakota Westmoreland. We were met by Ms. Freed and Mr. Overgewich, and from there we proceeded out to the area in section southeast quarter, section 5, where the topsoil had been stripped. The area had been leveled by equipment. We drove around the area. We also drove up to the stockpile where the topsoil had been piled at. After that, we dropped off Mr. Overgewich. Ms. Freed and Mr. Klingenstein and I proceeded to the grade approval in the other stripping area.
When you looked at the area you refer to as the topsoil stripping area, could you determine the size of the area that had been previously disturbed?
No, I could not.
Why not?
Because heavy equipment had been in there. It looked like it had been a blade or some type of equipment such as that had been in and leveled the area out. So the area where the scrapers had been removing topsoil was not discernible.
I have no further questions.
Thank you, Ms. Bendish. Mr. Biello, you have any questions?
Nothing, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Biello. Commissioner Kramer, any questions of this witness?
I just want to get clarification on the indiscernibility of that area. Are you suggesting that some work had been done after the topsoil had been removed to sort of level it out so you couldn't? Okay. All right. I have nothing else.
Thank you, Commissioner Kramer. Commissioner Clark, please?
None, thanks.
Thank you. Commissioner Call?
No, thank you.
All right, thank you, Commissioners. Did you intend to offer 11?
I would offer Exhibit 11, yes.
Bill, any objection to Exhibit 11?
No, Your Honor. We do have one question, if we might.
Yes, you may.
Mr. Berg, on the last page 204, under suitable plant growth, material removal, respread, the second sentence says a strip of about 30 feet by 100 feet long had topsoil removed and placed on a topsoil just north of the removal area.
Now, stockpile.
Excuse me. Yep, just north of the removal area. But by the time you were there on June 3rd, hadn't that topsoil been put back by that time?
It not put back, no. This pile was still located there. The area from the surrounding area had been bladed over. That 30 by 100 strip was reported by Mr. Clark to Mr. Mose, is where that dimensions came from in that report.
Right, I understand that, but I believe Falkirk had put the topsoil back to the original spot by the time you were there on June 3rd, is that correct?
No, the pile was still located there. We drove up and inspected the stockpile pile. It was approximately 100 foot by 60 foot and foot to 2 foot thick.
I have nothing further, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Biella. I didn't say it, but Exhibit 11 is admitted. Any further questions of Mr. Berg? No further questions. Thank you, Mr. Berg. Any further witnesses, Ms. Bendish?
No, Your Honor.
All right. You're not offering any other exhibits either then?
No, I'm not.
Okay. So I thought, because we'd marked through 11. I said 13 or 14. That's where I got confused. Okay. Thank you, Ms. Bendish. Mr. Biella, would you call your witness,
yes,
please?
Mr. Randall Crook, please.
Mr. Mr. Cook, please be seated. Did you hear the admonition I gave in regard to perjury?
Yes, I did, sir.
Being advised of the penalty for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this matter being heard? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Biala, please.
Thank you. Randy, would you please state your name and business address?
My name is Randall Crook. I work at the Falkirk Mine near Underwood, North Dakota.
And Randy, how long have you been employed by Falkirk?
I've been employed by Falkirk for 28 years.
And please give a brief description of your post-high school education.
I have a Bachelor of Arts degree in biology from Hanover College in Southern Indiana, and I have 3 years of postgraduate study in vertebrate zoology at NDSU in Fargo.
And what is your current position with Falkirk?
My current position is environmental manager at Falkirk.
And could you just briefly describe what are your duties as environmental manager?
Well, my primary duties are to ensure that the mine is run in conformance with all applicable state, local, and federal environmental regulations and permits.
And you supervise the staff that does so, is that correct?
That's correct.
And are you familiar with the circumstances that led to issuance of NOV 0903 by the Reclamation Division?
Yes, I am.
And have you familiarized yourself with the files and records of Falkirk regarding the circumstances that led to issuance of the NOV?
I have done so, yes.
Now, with respect to the situation on May 29 and Falkirk scrapers entering into the southeast quarter of Section 5, does Falkirk acknowledge that this occurred?
Yes, we do.
Would you please explain how this happened?
This incident occurred as a result of a miscommunication, a misunderstanding of communication between Falkirk's reclamation planner and one of Falkirk's reclamation supervisors. The reclamation planner is an engineer who does just that. He plans and projects the activities of our reclamation fleet, the scrapers in particular, and he informs the reclamation supervisors of the necessary jobs that we have to do for the year and helps give them the support information they need to make the decisions on where to go next. The reclamation supervisor is the individual who runs the scraper and dozer fleets that actually go out and do the work. The reclamation supervisor typically is the individual who makes the decisions on where he's going to place pieces of equipment on a given day with input from the reclamation planner. As has been stated earlier, we had a revision before the Public Service Commission in its very latter stages of review to modify our main haul road and do a number of other modifications relating to Wash Bay Pond and so on. The area involved was involved with this haul road that had to be moved in order to facilitate the Wash Bay Pond construction. There had been a number of communications between the reclamation planner and the Public Service Commission review staff about various questions that they had in the revision. In one of those later communications, the reclamation planner was given approval to go ahead and be able to move topsoil from one topsoil pile to another one, which was part of the activity that needed to happen in conjunction with all of those projects. He relayed verbally that information to the reclamation supervisor, who just misunderstood him to believe that he was being given approval to move topsoil relating to the haul road. And on Friday the 29th, later in the morning, the reclamation supervisor then moved a couple machines into that area under the mistaken impression that he had approval to go to work there.
And Randy, who discovered this mistake?
This mistake was discovered through an internal meeting at Falkirk. We have routine production meetings, is what we call them. Those are meetings that involve virtually every department on the mine on day shift to discuss operations, maintenance, safety, environmental, engineering, basically all the activities that are going on the mine on that day and in subsequent days to come. It's a planning and coordination meeting. Only takes about half an hour, but it's involves just about everybody on day shift in a supervisory and management role. During that meeting, which took place at between 10 and 10:30, we go around and we each of us gives an update on what we're doing in various parts of the mine, and the reclamation supervisor indicated in that meeting that he'd moved a couple machines into this particular area. The reclamation planner was not present at that meeting at that point in time. He was working on another project, but a number of us were present who had reason to believe that perhaps he had done that in error. And we brought that up to him immediately. This was toward the end of the meeting, which I said is fairly brief, half an hour or so, and we concluded that we would all get together immediately after that meeting and figure out what's going on and whether we could verify if that had happened or not. And that is what we did. We went down to the reclamation planner's office and consulted with him, made sure we understood the status of the approval process and confirmed that the revision was still under review, and got from the reclamation supervisor an adequate description to explain that, to have belief that that is in fact where he was, and we jointly concluded that he needed to stop that activity immediately, which he did. And he left the office to go up and physically stop those machines and pull them out of that area.
And this all occurred on the morning of the 29th, is that right?
Yes, this all occurred between about 10:30 and 11 o'clock.
And then you mentioned as soon as you discovered it, the work was halted, is that correct?
Yes, the work was halted.
And was the PSC notified of this then?
Yes, they were notified very soon after we had made this conclusion and stopped the scrapers. The reclamation planner was very concerned about the fact that we had apparently moved into this area. And he decided that he would call the PSC and report this. And he did so. I believe he called Mr. Dean Mose and reported this by telephone.
And I believe there was also a follow-up email shortly thereafter. Would that be correct?
Yes, there was.
Also to Mr. Mose?
Mr. Mose, yes.
So the notification to the Public Service Commission came in a very short time after the discovery of the error, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And how large was the area that was affected by the scrapers?
Approximately 55 feet wide and 100 feet long.
And in terms of acres, how much of an acre is that?
That is approximately just over a tenth of an acre, 0.13.
Showing you what has been marked as Falkirk Exhibit Numbers 1 and 2, were these photographs taken by Falkirk?
Yes, they were.
And do these photos depict the area that was affected, the 100 by 55-foot area?
Yes, they do depict that area.
And looking at Falkirk Number 1, can you please describe what's depicted on that photo?
What's depicted on this photo is the area from which the topsoil operation had taken place, but it is a photo that was taken very shortly after the topsoil had been returned to that location and the area top-dressed with a motor grader blade. And it also delineates that area with a black line, and it indicates on there the area stripped being approximately 100 feet by 55 feet.
Now, the topsoil, after it was discovered, that this removal was taking place. Did the PSC order that the topsoil be returned?
No, I don't believe they did.
Who did?
This was an internal decision on behalf of Falkirk. It was a joint decision between Falkirk Management, Falkirk Environmental, and Falkirk Engineering.
So even though the PSC was not directing you to do so, it was Falkirk's decision to do so, is that correct?
Yes, we felt like it was appropriate for us to restore this area completely to its pre-approval condition pending the approval of the revision.
And so Falkirk number one shows the area after, just to make sure that we're on, we understand, shows the affected area after the topsoil had been taken away and then brought back. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
And Falkirk number two, what's depicted on that photo?
Well, this is a photo of the exact same area. The difference is that it was taken some time after photo number one, a long enough period of time that there was some volunteer vegetation that shows back up across the area there. It also depicts two other things. If you look at this area, we actually went out and used our survey data from the original area that was stripped, and we staked that on here to ensure that we depicted it accurately. That is those four orange stakes on here, plus the black line delineating them. The area involved there, as in photo one, is the same, 100 feet by 55 feet. And I guess I would also refer you to the pickup truck that's in the photo. This gives you some idea of scale of the area that was involved.
We would offer Falkirk Exhibits 1 and 2.
Any objections to 1 or 2?
No objection.
1 and 2 are admitted.
Randy, in your opinion, was there any damage to the environment from this topsoil removal and restoration?
No, none whatsoever.
And what is the status of bonding for the area that was stripped?
This area is fully bonded under our worst-case bond, mine site-wide worst-case bond.
So the lack of bonding was never an issue to this property?
No, it was not.
Now, on May 29, the day the topsoil was inadvertently removed, was the area subject to a pending revision with the Reclamation Division, which would allow this stripping to occur?
Yes, it was. I believe it's revision number 32. It had been submitted on March 16th of this same year, and it was in the very latter stages of answering review questions from the Public Service Commission review staff, and was subsequently approved on June 24th, I believe.
Okay. Now, the NOV was issued June 17, 1 week prior, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
In as part of the revision that was approved, did it require a worst case bond to be revised to cover the work, that work?
No, as a matter of review, all the disturbance that was planned in the revision, including this area, did not require any revision of our worst-case bond. That indicates that that bond fully covers all of those activities.
And has this area now been cleared for construction of a haul road?
Yes, it has.
In your and Falkirk's opinion, should this NOV have been issued?
Certainly in Falkirk's opinion, we believe, while we take the situation very seriously, we believe that this NOV should not have been issued.
Why not?
Again, this is a matter that we take very seriously, but it is a very small incident area. This was the result of an inadvertent miscommunication, not a deliberate action on anybody's part. This was a self-discovered, self-reported, self-corrected incident. There was absolutely no environmental damage that related from this. We just believe that it is a minor enough incident that it was within the discretion of the commission not to take enforcement action. I guess I find Commissioner Kramer's earlier remarks about exceeding the speed limit somewhat appropriate here. In my own view, it's kind of like I'm driving north on 83 headed toward the mine, and I got my mind on too many other things, and I look down and here I'm driving 71 instead of 70. In this case, I pulled over the side of the road and I called the highway patrol and I said,
I'll overrule. That's true. That's true. But I'll let you continue. Overruled.
Well, I just feel that, you know, I report it to the highway patrol. Should they have the discretion whether to come and issue the citation or not? Should they do that for that small an infraction? That's kind of how I see this.
Mr. Biala, please.
Showing you what is marked as Falkirk Exhibit Number 3, is this North Dakota Administrative Code Section 6905.2-28-05?
Yes, it is.
And are you familiar with this rule?
I am, sir.
Does this rule give the authority to the commission or to the commission's authorized representative to vacate an NOV for good cause?
Under item 2, yes.
And is it the request of the Falkirk Mining Company that the commission, pursuant to the authority granted by this rule, vacate this NOV for good cause?
It is our position that we request that they vacate this NOV for good cause that we have discussed in this testimony, yes.
I have no further questions of this witness.
Were you offering, or did you want us to just take official notice of it?
Official notice will be fine.
I think we'll just take official notice since it's in the PSC rules. All right, thank you, Mr. Biala. Ms. Bendish, do you have any questions of Mr. Crook?
I do have a couple. Mr. Crook, do you know when Falkirk Exhibit 1 and 2, when those photos were taken? Do you know which date?
I do not have the dates. I'm sorry.
And it was stated earlier, Mr. Mose stated in his testimony that he had told you to leave the area as it was. Why did you make the decision to go in and blade the area?
We made the decision to restore the area to its exact pre-approval status because we thought that was appropriate action pending the approval of the revision.
In looking at Falkirk Exhibit 1, on there, it indicates an area stripped as approximately 100 feet by 55 feet, and it's indicated by a black box. If that was the only area that was stripped, why does it appear to me in this picture that more area surrounding there was bladed, leveled? I'm not an engineer. I don't speak the technical terms, but it just appears from this photo that more area was disturbed than what's indicated in that box.
A larger area was bladed over because we do that in order to, we call it seal the area. We're waiting for the approval to take place, okay? We know that once the approval is granted to go to work in there, stripping the topsoil from this whole projected haul road area is going to be very important for us to do as quickly as we can. And typically you blade over to seal those areas. If you get precipitation, it helps the water run off the site instead of soaking in and making the topsoil too wet to handle by the scrapers. And as you know, this was a year in which we've kind of had back-to-back rainfall events up until just recently. So that was the reason why the entire area was bladed over.
And when was the entire area bladed over?
When? It had to have been, I believe we were blading portions of the area on June 3rd when the inspector was here. I don't know quite honestly whether we retouched portions of that area later or not.
And you didn't photograph the area before it was bladed over?
Did not, no.
I have no further questions.
Thank you, Ms. Bendish. Commissioner Kramer, please.
Just one question, Randy. Just so I'm clear, is it Falkirk's position that respreading the topsoil and restoring the affected area to its pre-revision approval state was going above and beyond what what was being recommended or ordered by the PSC staff?
Yeah, we understood that.
Okay. I have nothing.
Thank you, Commissioner Kramer. Commissioner Clark, please.
Maybe just to play devil's advocate for a little bit and see your response. To use the analogy of the police officer with a 71-mile-an-hour ticket. I mean, might a judge, if you took it to the judge, say, well, yeah, maybe the police officer was being a little overzealous, but the law is at 70 and you admit to going 71, therefore we have to enforce the law.
There's no disputing that the commission has the authority to issue the NOV and to stand on it. You also, we recognize, have the authority to vacate the NOV for good cause.
Okay.
We stand on the facts of the case. We do not in any way misrepresent that we went in there. We have done everything in our power to be responsible about how we've dealt with it since that time.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Commissioner Clark. Commissioner Calk, please.
Yeah, just one, I guess, question and see where it goes. You kind of said that the folks maybe working with you before you had their meeting, they got together with the scrapers and they started working. And later on, someone more senior said, wait a minute, we shouldn't be doing this. There was a miscommunication at the lower level that really kind of caused this problem.
Well, I think we all as a group arrived at that conclusion. I was actually part of that discussion.
That somebody made the decision to start it before, to start this.
Okay, to start the scrapers in there? Okay, the reclamation supervisor has that discretion on our mind. He has the authority to send his machines where he deems it's appropriate, where he knows work needs to be done. He was under the mistaken impression from his earlier conversations with the planner that we had approval to go in there. It was a simple verbal misunderstanding.
Perfect. So my question then is, have you done something internally in your training to make sure this doesn't happen again?
Yes, we have. In this case pointed out that we feel like at this point in our history, we needed to go to a more direct mapping control system. And so always previously, we've had maps in the reclamation supervisor's offices that outline the areas that we're going to need to work in this year and what those projects are. And we were relying more upon our direct communications to say, this is what we need to do next, and we have approval to go in there. With this failure of internal communications, we now have those maps color-coded so that as areas are approved, before they're approved to go in there, they have a red color overlay on them, and after they're approved, they have a green color overlay on them. So our reclamation planner, as areas become approved for construction, disturbance, whatever that planned activity is, he redoes the map and reposts it in the office, and so they have a, regardless of what time of day, shift, or whatever, the reclamation supervisor has a map that shows him the current status of all the approvals for areas that he's got to work in.
Okay, thank you. No further questions.
Thank you, Commissioner Call. Just maybe this will be helpful, I don't know. This is a picture that was taken after May 29th. You said June 3rd or approximately? Exhibit 1, Falkirk 1?
I don't know the exact date. I'm assuming it would.
But it was after, in any event, correct?
Yes.
After the.
Yep. After the.
Can you just describe what it looked like on that day? Did you see it? Well, first of all, did you see it
on May 29th? Era?
Yes.
No, I did not.
You didn't? Okay, well, then you can't describe it.
Nope.
Okay. Okay. Any further questions, Mr. Biella, of Mr.
Nothing,
Cook? Ms. Bendish?
Nothing.
Commissioners? Thank you, Mr. Cook. Any further evidence to present?
Nothing further, Your Honor. I just have a short closing statement, if I may.
Ms. Bendish, anything in rebuttal?
Nothing further, just a brief closing.
Okay. It's my understanding that the commissioners would like to call another witness. Is that correct?
I would like to. I don't
Commissioner Call? Well, any of the commissioners can do that. You would like to call?
I'd like to ask the director, Jim, Deutsch, a couple questions, if possible.
All right. Mr. Deutsch? Um, Mr. Deutsch, you heard the admonition in regard to perjury, is that correct?
Yes, I did.
Being advised of the penalty for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this matter being heard? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Thank you. And why don't you just state your name for the record and your position?
I'm Jim Deutsch, Director of the Reclamation Division.
Thank you. Well, then we'll start with Commissioner Calk.
Well, just I wanted to get some more background on the NOV process. That I know you've been with the commission a long time. You understand the different layers of regulatory enforcement. And when you were presented with all this information, if you could kind of walk me through what got you to the decision of this is the best way to handle this by issuing the NOV.
Yes. I guess I'll give you a little more of a background with regard to the whole NOV process and the discretion the inspectors have. The inspectors do have the authority to issue NOVs while they're in the field. A lot of them carry the NOV forms with them. And if there was a serious enough matter that required basically the cessation of that activity, those inspectors are authorized to issue the NOV in the field. Fortunately, with the industry here, that they do take all of the responsibility seriously, and I think there's been very few occasions where we've issued an NOV in the field. In absence of that, times there's, as inspections are, after they're conducted, if there's something questionable that has occurred, we do come back and you generally discuss it as a group. Usually the inspector, other principal inspectors, that particular mine, and between Dean Mose and myself, and we generally reach a consensus on that. And there again, there was a, in this case, after Dean received the call from, I think it was Joe Clark, informing that the scrapers had one in this area by mistake, we looked at it, and we did have quite a few discussions on it. And there again, it was a matter, you know, is that a performance standard that was violated? And there wasn't a specific, you go through the performance standards themselves, where there was an environmental damage, we didn't see that. But in reviewing the requirements, we felt the procedural requirement under the revision provisions that clearly state that that a revision needs to be approved before those operations take place, we decide to issue the violation.
Okay. Do you feel that if you wouldn't have issued the NOV that, I can't remember which witness talked about OSM, had the authority or jurisdiction to come in and maybe do something in lieu of it, that had you not issued the NOV, you might have put the PSC at risk by someone else coming in and doing that?
That is a very likely scenario. There again, depending on how things are worded in the inspection reports, our copies of all inspection reports are sent to the CASPER field office. The federal inspector reviews those reports, and it's not uncommon for him to call asking about that. And if he sees something that he feels was a violation, there is the process, what Dean testified, is called a 10-day notice process, where OSM will notify us that they have reason to believe there's a violation. We have 10 days to respond. And there again, we have to take what they consider appropriate action. And in this case, I feel that if it was reported as such, that it was very likely we would have gotten a 10-day notice had we not issued the violation. Then even at that point, if we decide not to, the OSM can come in and issue a federal violation. And there again, we've received a number of these 10-day notices in the past. We haven't received any, I think it's been at least 10 years or more since we've received any of those. And there again, it speaks well of our program, well of our operators, but that federal involvement is a possibility.
Thank you, Commissioner Calk. Other commissioners, any questions of Mr. Clark, please?
Maybe, Jim, if you could just add a little bit more context to the discretion issue with regard to how our inspectors trained to kind of make these judgment calls on what, you know, may or may not be a gray area or what might be a they consider a minor violation. I mean, at some point there's a decision to write something up. At that point, that can be reviewed by OSM, but there must be other decisions. For example, when Dr. Schrader talked about, you know, well, there's some things that I strongly suggest, you know, but don't rise to the level of actually writing it up. Now, those kind of things, I suspect, aren't reviewed to OSM. At some point, there's a decision made. In most instances, I suspect it's kind of a slam dunk one way or another, you know, if it's serious enough to do. But what role does discretion play in the process?
Well, I think discretion comes into play based on the amount of evidence we have for a particular issue that was observed, a particular problem or a possible violation. If something is questionable, I guess at that point then the inspector has some discretion deciding even to raise it as an issue. Is this a violation or isn't it? And then it gets a matter of in reviewing the matter, trying to determine if indeed there's a violation. An example of this would be, I guess, an incident at the center mine here earlier this summer after a rainfall event that had a heavy rain, and there was some erosion, minor amount of sedimentation on an area that had been respread with topsoil. And they're going to be looked at that. Did the company have the appropriate measures in to control the runoff from the area and try to prevent this from happening? And in that case, we determined that they had the required measures in place. And even though there was a minor amount of sedimentation, we felt that that did not warrant the issuance of a violation because the company had taken the steps that they said they were going to prevent things like this from happening.
Thank you, Commissioner Clark. Any further questions, Commissioners? Ms. Bendish, did you want to ask Mr. Deutsch any questions?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Biella?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right.
Mr. Deutsch, I believe we pointed out North Dakota Administrative Code Section 69-05.2-28-05 does give you the authority for good cause to vacate an NOV. Isn't that correct?
Yes, it does for good cause.
So you do have some discretion to weigh in the matter.
Yes, I do. If there's, you know, a showing made that maybe the violation was issued in error, that there wasn't really indeed a violation, I think in that case, that would be done. I recall a situation like that at one of the other mines several years ago, where we vacated upon further review.
And it's also at least possible in that scenario that had you, let's say you had done so in this case and OSM reviewed it, that they could recognize your authority to do so and let the matter drop right then and there. That is also a possibility, is it not?
That is a possibility. I guess the other possibility is that if OSM disagreed with the vacation of that, they could come back and issue a federal violation.
I understand. No further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Biella. Mr. Deutsch, good cause isn't otherwise defined in the rules, is it?
No, there's no definition in the rules.
Thank you. Any further questions of Mr. Deutsch? No further questions. Thank you, Mr. Deutsch. All right. Ms. Bendish, any other evidence to present to the commission?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Biella?
No, Your Honor.
All right. Just a suggestion. I know you've talked about making closing arguments. Might it be appropriate, and might the commission desire to have closing argument on this, not briefs, but proposed findings of fact, conclusions of law, and order? Or is there some other wishes on the part of the commission in regard to this?
This is when having our counsel would be handy.
Yeah.
That's why I asked.
I was feeling pretty good about myself up till about now.
I think closing arguments is appropriate in this case, but it might be helpful to have proposed findings. That's just my own.
Well, I certainly agree that closing arguments would be appropriate.
Whether the feeling, I know what her answer would be. So
yeah, yeah, she'd like.
I mean, it doesn't hurt to have proposed findings. At the very least, it helps us flesh out whatever we decide.
Oral closing is fine.
Oh, sure. Oral closing is fine.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we need written briefs after this.
No.
If you're asking.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. Is that satisfactory to?
Just to clarify what we're agreeing to, we're having closing arguments and.
And then not written briefs, but proposed findings and conclusions in order.
You'd like each side to do that?
Yes.
Then we'll reconcile them or pick one.
When would you like those?
No, well, first of all, is that something you're agreeable to doing?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Bill? Okay. Okay. I don't know of any statutory or rule. Is there deadlines on these?
I believe 30 days.
30 days.
I believe Mr. Deutsch was correct. 30
okay.
days from the date of the informal hearing.
Okay.
The commission has to decide within 30 days.
Okay. Well,
Do we?
15 days, 2 weeks? Is it possible, 2 weeks?
That would be...
I mean, there's not that much dispute about the facts that actually right. happened. I mean, it's basically the view of the facts and conclusions under the law. And so is 2 weeks satisfactory?
If I might, Your Honor, my wife and I are going on a 30th anniversary trip, leaving Monday, gone for 10 days, back late on the 24th.
By Friday, then. No.
If I might have a... I can try to get it done in the next few days, but if I might have a...
I assume that the 30 days... Yeah, I assume the 30 days is to accommodate the company. It could be waived yeah. if by the company. So
yeah, that's a good point. Thank you, Commissioner. I would think, too... are you reading the rule, Ms. Bendish? What does it say?
Yeah, Mr. Deutsch did just give me... This is the law, is it not?
Yeah.
That... decision must be issued within 30 days after the hearing. The commission shall have no discretion to increase such time period. And that is under...
Well, it says the commission shall have no discretion.
3814.1-30.
But the parties, generally speaking, and the courts usually don't have any problem with this, can agree to a later date. I mean, I would assume that rule is there to protect one or both of the parties.
I'm agreeable to an extension.
Okay.
Well, how about that? I mean, if you want to add an extra week on, that's fine. And that would be, what, October 2nd?
You want another week?
And then if the commission can decide by the 9th, I don't anticipate that this will take a huge amount of work. I mean, there's no...
If we get a date,
there's really no fact dispute here. It's just a matter of making a decision amongst ourselves.
That's my understanding, too. Is that...
That would work, yes.
Okay, 3 weeks then, please. And then we'll just extend it... by another week,
the 30 days. If you need it,
if we need it,
you may not need it.
We can schedule a work session at our next meeting.
All right. Okay. Anything else to bring to the attention of the commission before we close the hearing, Mr. Bell? Ms. Bendish.
Your Honor.
All right.
It's approximately 3:04.
Or three. This hearing is closed. Thank you. I'm sorry.
We're going to have we're going to have oral closing arguments as well.
Oh, we didn't take the oral closing yet. I'm sorry. Thank you. Got so wrapped up in the other stuff. Let's not close the hearing then quite yet. Ms. Bendish, let's start with you since you have the burden of proof, I believe.
Thank you, Your Honor. Commissioner Falkirk doesn't dispute the violation. That's not why we're here. Staff has an obligation to issue a notice of violation when one occurs. And the rule, as pointed out by Mr. Biela and his witness, says that it may be terminated for good cause. Staff does not believe that good cause has been demonstrated in this case. The fact that it was a small area, that it wasn't a serious violation, that there wasn't environmental damage, was all reflected in the amount of the penalty. In this case, there's a $350 penalty. Given that staff could issue up to $3,500 a day for this violation, the penalty is very minimal. And I just don't believe that the evidence on the record today presents good cause to not issue the violation at all, or to, subsequent to the issuance of the violation, to vacate that violation when the company itself admits that the violation did occur. I have nothing further.
Any questions of Ms. Bendish?
Commissioners?
No. All right. Thank you, Ms. Bendish. Mr. Biela, please.
Thank you, Your Honor. If Falkirk has demonstrated that while its equipment did enter the area prior to PSC approval of revision, that the error was caught almost immediately by Falkirk, stopped by Falkirk, and even though PSC didn't, staff didn't direct it to do so, did return the topsoil so that there would be absolutely no harm. The PSC staff was notified by Falkirk very shortly thereafter, both by phone and by email, so we self-reported virtually immediately. I think it's been well documented here that no harm occurred to the environment, that the area was fully bonded, and that only a week after the NOV was issued, the revision was issued, which allowed for this very work to occur and has occurred. That under these circumstances, Falkirk submits that the NOV should not have been issued or later should have been vacated for good cause, as no environmental harm occurred and the land was fully under bond. This is clearly an instance of no harm and a very small foul. Under the rule we've provided to you, you have the authority to vacate an NOV for good cause, and Falkirk submits that good cause does exist and requests the NOV be vacated. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Biela. Any questions, Mr. Biela?
Nope.
All right, now, anything else to bring to the attention of the commission before we close the hearing?
No, Your Honor.
No, Your Honor.
Commissioners, do you have any closing comments you'd like to make? Commissioner?
I do. And I've written a number of things. And we joked before the hearing to never rule from the bench, and I'm not proposing we do that. But I will tell you, having read the whole record quite thoroughly prior to this and once again listening carefully to everybody, it is kind of nice when everybody's right, even in a disputed case, which we have here. The facts aren't in dispute, and I appreciate that. And I agree with Dr. Schrader that probably staff does not have guidelines for discretion. And we are combined, you know, we do have combined federal and state responsibilities. And maybe I wish staff did have more discretion when a clear violation occurs. But if they don't. But then again, that's probably why we have chosen in North Dakota to elect a public service commission. If, however, there is a de minimis standard for issuing an NOV based on, you know, factors such as minimal or no environmental impact, self-reporting, self-correction, mistakes, pending approvals, whatever the case might be, strong environmental record of the company, it's the small area. It would seem to me, if there is such a standard, that this case does present some good cause for opportunity to vacate this NOV. We'll see. This is where we will need some advice from our attorney when she's back. But I also worry that for us to sort of validate this NOV creates an incentive for mining companies to, rather than be transparent, keep things from us. And I worry about that. I like the relationship that we have at this point, where we have a transparent relationship with each other. It's important, I think, not only to us as commissioners, but to the people of North Dakota. It's a great environment to work in. So I worry some about that as well. So having said that and tipping my hand a bit, I hope that we can make a strong argument, legal argument, ruling, if you will, that vacates this NOV for good cause.
Thank you, Commissioner Kramer. Commissioner Clark, please.
Just thank you for a good hearing. I look forward to our further discussions on it. Thanks.
Thank you. Commissioner Koch, please.
Just, I guess, an overall thought that no matter how this comes out with the NOV, that there are lessons to be learned here on both sides. So I would ask that each organization take that back and see what you could learn on this, whether the commission rules on it or not, because I think there was mistakes on both sides that led to this. And if we can, you know, solve those problems, this kind of thing won't happen again.
Thank you, Commissioner Koch. All right, it's 3:10, this hearing is closed.